Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. It has been a very busy week. We've had a debate. We have had major rulings by the Supreme Court of the United States and a lot of big pivot points upcoming. We're going to parse through all of it with Scott. Scott, good to have you here.
Thanks, Loman. Great to be back.
Well, Scott, since we last talked, we've had the first presidential debate. Universally, it's being viewed as a disaster for Joe Biden. Talk of replacing him on the ticket. What do you make of all of that?
I think that for the D.C. insiders, what you witnessed from Joe Biden wasn't really anything new. He's had all sorts of memory gaffes and stutters and just really incompetency from his overall performance. And that transcends not just from what we see on television, but what we see through his entire agenda and the way that the radical left has completely hijacked his brand and what he's done from the Inflation Reduction Act and the infrastructure legislation that really had nothing to do with traditional infrastructure, things like that. And now people are having sort of a wake-up call, and it's time for people to actually investigate what a second term of Joe Biden would stand for. I think it would stand for more of Barack Obama. It would stand for more of this radical socialism from Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and AOC. I think that it would stand for more of Ron Klain and Jill Biden really serving as the puppet masters and taking an elderly man and getting him to agree upon their own prerogatives. So when people see his debate performance, when they see how clueless he really seemed in a late night session, the reality is, as much as they try to memory hole us, we've got dozens and dozens of examples of Joe Biden failing to step up and represent America at an exceptional level.
Given the logistics at this point, though, Scott, is it realistic to even suggest that Biden could be replaced as the nominee?
Well, what we've seen from the legacy media means that it certainly is a possibility. And from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution to the New York Times has called on Biden to step down, you've got senators that are participating in coalition calls and really bringing the level of discussion on the 25th Amendment to a degree that we haven't seen in probably U.S. history. And so I think that Biden certainly is at risk of facing his own cabinet. And the question is, I think, Loman, is would he actually accept the outcomes of a motion by the cabinet led by the vice president to remove him from power, or would he resign? And the bottom line is you can't just replace him on the ballot and say, oh, he's mentally competent to remain president for another 6 months, but we're going to go ahead and pull an audible and replace him with Gavin Newsom, right? You can't do it that way. I think what is more practical is that Kamala leads the cabinet into invoking the 25th Amendment to removing the president. She becomes the president, and it'd be interesting to see what our sort of coalition government in the House of Representatives does about giving Kamala a new vice president. But ultimately, I think that with the Democratic National Committee in the near term, and the way that they go ahead and confirm their own nominee, it's certainly possible for Biden to get pushed aside, forced to resign, and for the Democrats to put a new face forward, maybe an old face forward, to be their nominee, whether it's Hillary, Michelle, or even Kamala Harris.
Certainly interesting maneuvering on the Democrat side. Meanwhile, we are just days away now from the sentencing of Donald Trump in that so-called hush money trial, which had not really anything to do with hush money, but that sentencing is pending here, Scott. And of course, the big event for Republicans, the Republican National Convention coming up in a week or so. What impact do you think all of that is going to have on the race?
Oh, listen, I think it's going to have a dramatic impact. This is on July 11th, the sentencing from the sham trial and sham verdict in the New York case. The Supreme Court came out with additional decision this week and said that the president is basically has qualified immunity for any official act that he's taken. Now, what they're saying with the New York case is that that's a state case, so he still doesn't have the ability to invoke that clause of the Supreme Court decision, but it has longstanding ramifications, I think, for the other decisions in the Mar-a-Lago raid and in Georgia and everything else that he's been indicted for. So I think that the lawfare against Donald Trump, it's been a witch hunt, but I think that the politicization of the Biden Justice Department through Merrick Garland, going after Trump, going after people like Steve Bannon, who got locked up, going after others like Peter Navarro and Mark Meadows. This is a real, real sort of decision point when it comes to American politics. Are we going to allow for legal lawfare, or are we going to stand up for equal justice for all under law?
And of course, one of the biggest decisions that's going to be announced in the very, very near future, in a matter of just days, Donald Trump has to pick a running mate. How do you see that shaping up?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun to watch. First of all, I think that there were rumors he was going to select somebody right before the debate last week. He said that the future vice president was going to be in attendance. We all saw who was in the spin room and who wasn't in the spin room. The bottom line is there were a lot of Trump surrogates there. I think that it's wide open. I do think that Governor Burgum, Senator J.D. Vance are among the front runners. And I also think that Trump could go with an unconventional pick. He could pick somebody like Tucker Carlson. Maybe he picks a loyalist like Ben Carson. Maybe he goes for the new energy of somebody like Ramaswamy. The bottom line is whoever he selects probably won't impact the outcome of the presidential race. I think that right now we're in a position to win big. And I think that he should pick a vice president that is going to be a heartbeat away from the presidency, somebody that has the competency to do the job. And that's why he should select Loman Henry from Pennsylvania.
Well, my inside sources tell me that Scott Parkinson from Virginia is going to be the running mate. So
neither of us.
Yeah, somehow I think neither one of us are going to end up there. But Scott Parkinson has ended up at the Club for Growth. Tell us a bit about the club.
Well, we're organization based out of Washington, D.C., united in liberty, opportunity, and freedom. We want to make sure that we have low taxes, low regulation, and a free trade environment to foster economic growth. You can learn more at clubforgrowth.org and follow us on X at Club for Growth with the number 4.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. We'll have another very interesting conversation, I'm sure, a week from now. Thank you for being here.
Happy Independence Day.